Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us and join in the dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about stolen election, the stolen election. You might ask the question, why should a Christian be interested in that? Why should pastors talk about that? Why should conservatives and Christians be concerned about an election being stolen? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are called upon in the Scripture to be salt and light. That means we're to take a stand in the society in which we're living in and be salt in a decaying society and light in a darkened world. Because the Scripture says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to recognize that our nation and the future of our liberties are at stake. And so every Christian ought to be concerned. Talking with a lady very recently, she was saying something about the church that she was in. The pastor wouldn't even mention the election, wouldn't say anything about the candidates, and would not discuss in any way, shape, or form the need to be involved as Christians. That is antithetical to the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, and how we should stand and how we should view things. It is very clear in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's what we see that we're on the very edge of today in the society in which we're living in with this election being stolen. The Scripture says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It is incumbent upon us to recognize that there is a gigantic coup that's taking place in America today. And it's the coup to overthrow the American Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the securities and the freedoms, the liberties that we have so enjoyed for all of these years in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The truth book, Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He made that statement in John 31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. He further elaborates by saying, thy word is truth in John 17:17. So ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we need to stand on. It ought not to be something that's antithetical to our lifestyle, what we say and what we do. It should be truth. Truth ought to be the modus operandi, as I call it, of life and living, and not compromise and going along with, as they call it, across the aisle in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of years ago, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it was John Huss, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that made these famous, indelible words. Faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So may I remind us that ought to be our goal and mindset of life and living, is seeking the truth, telling the truth, and defending the truth. Sometimes it gets difficult for Christians to see that as a benchmark of Christianity and what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment like Honda generators and Honda and Echo, for the homeowner. And they also carry a full line of generators for the hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tune for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time has a full staff of qualified, knowledgeable people that can answer all of your questions about the lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time has a full staff that can answer your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. The flag is flowing at about 165 feet in the air. Gigantic flag, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing at the intersection of 295, I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, massive voter fraud across the U.S. as President Trump decries attempted coup. Let me just read you, it's a five-page article, read you two blurbs from it. Sets the stage of where we're going. Reports, videos, and other evidence of rampant and brazen voter fraud from all across the country, especially in jurisdictions controlled by Democrats, continue pouring in faster than big tech giants can censor it, and the fake fact-checking industry can dishonestly attempt to discredit it. At this point, virtually anybody who is not depending on the fake news media as their only source of information can see it very clearly. The outcome of this election is at stake, and President Trump supporters are already rallying nationwide against the big steal. Some analysts have suggested that the Democrats' vote fraud is so brazen in this election that it was if the fraudsters did not even care if it were known. Or worse, they wanted conservatives to realize the vote was rigged. In any case, despite blatant censorship by Silicon Big Tech totalitarians, President Trump is fighting hard to expose and defeat the fraud. Lawsuits have been filed by the Trump campaign across the nation, especially in critical swing states where much of the voter fraud appears to have taken place. And Trump is gearing support for a long fight. This article then says, the Democrats will try to steal this election, the president has warned. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of what we're wanting to talk about today. We're witnessing the greatest coup, I believe, in American history. Our most sacred liberty today, ladies and gentlemen, is the right to vote. But in this election, I have seen, based on the articles that I've read, that based on the research that I've done, we have witnessed illegal voters voting across the nation. Mail-in ballots, fixed ballots, fraudulent ballots, and fake ballots cast for the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic candidate, Joe Biden. And ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, listen carefully, Joe Biden is not President-elect Biden. He is not, N-O-T, President-elect Biden. This designation of President-elect has been given by the socialist Marxist fake news media. The designation President-elect is given, ladies and gentlemen, only after all legal votes have been counted and all recounts completed and the secretary of each state confirming the vote. And then, ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden is determined to have won, he will only then be viewed as President-elect Biden. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we see open deception to try to declare Biden as the President-elect. They're doing so to garner public opinion on that position. Here's an article. The President Trump campaign has released a statement. This election is not over. The false projection of Joe Biden as the winner is based on results in four states that are far from final. Georgia is headed for a recount where we are confident that we will find ballots improperly harvested and where President Trump will ultimately prevail. Matt Morgan, Trump's 2020 campaign general counsel, said there were many irregularities in Pennsylvania, including having election officials prevent our volunteer legal observers from having meaningful access to the counting locations. This statement further says, we will prevail in court on our challenge, but we were deprived of valuable time and denied the transparency that we are entitled to under state law. And then he goes on to talk about the state law in each of the states and what has happened. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk broadly about this issue today. We're going to introduce our guest in just a moment. Let me remind you, telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have that dialogue and discussion, answer your questions as you would challenge anything that may be said or have thing that you would want to add to or state in relationship to it. But ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest on Let's Face the Issues today is a man that knows something about election heist, knows something about voter fraud. In fact, he's the man that wrote the book, published the book called The Election Heist on the top 10 bestseller list of the New York Times. His name is Ken Timmerman. Ken Timmerman has a background and experience and wisdom, I believe, to speak on this issue today. Not only has he written the book, The Election Heist, but ladies and gentlemen, Ken served in the National Security and Foreign Policy Advisory Board for Trump in 2016. He's the president and CEO of the Foundation for Democracy. Ken Timmerman is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee in 2016. From 2004 through 2011, Ken was the lead outside investigator for the consortium of law firms representing the families of the victims of 9/11. Ken was a young reporter back in 1982 when he was taken hostage in the Palestinian fighters in West Beirut. It was there that Ken was born again, found Christ as his Savior, and is an advocate for truth, especially in relationship to what we're seeing today with this voter fraud. Ken, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. We've got a couple of callers on the line holding, but let's do some introductory thoughts first, and then we'll get to them. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Do you think that we have an election heist today in this presidential campaign?
We do indeed have an election heist, and what's all the more astonishing to me is that as more details emerge in Michigan, in Georgia, and in other states, the closer it looks to the very precise scenario that I set out in my book, The Election Heist. I mean, right down to specific details, Pastor, it's really quite uncanny. Let me just give you two quick examples. In Antrim County, Michigan, an election supervisor discovered as she was going through the votes on early in the morning on November 4th, the day after the election, she said, this is very strange because this is a red county voted for Trump in 2016, but now it's voting for Biden. What's going on? And as she began to scratch the surface, she did a recount of some paper ballots, and then she realized she had to recount all the paper ballots, and she found 6,000 votes that had been flipped to Biden that should have been for Trump, that were really for Trump. So there was a 6,000 vote difference. Now, that is exactly the scenario in my book. In Georgia, you find out how this happened. And it happened because we're told in two counties, again, this comes from election officials who stated this publicly, there was a computer upload, a patch uploaded into the system, apparently from the manufacturer of the electronic voting machines, on the day of election or the day before the election. And the supervisor went on to say, this never, ever, ever happens. And there's a reason why it never, ever happens, is because if you patch the system software, you're basically replacing it, you can replace it with anything, including a new vote total. And that's what they believe happened in those two counties. That is exactly what happens in my book, The Election Heist. Nobody believed it was possible until now. We are now seeing this play out in front of our eyes, and it's really quite extraordinary.
Ken, for the benefit of our listeners, and we're talking about your book, The Election Heist, and how it so parallels what we see taking place today. Tell our listeners about the book, for example, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something Ken has just written based on firsthand evidence of what is happening today. Ken, when was your book published, and how does it relate to what we're talking about today? You didn't look at this election campaign and say, well, I'm going back and write a book based on that. However, it is paralleling what is taking place. Is that true?
Yeah, actually, I wrote the book, was published in August, and it was finished at really late last year, 2019, sent off to the publisher with the final revisions in February. So this was a fiction. I like to say it's a fiction, but not a fantasy, because it was based on extensive research on the vulnerabilities of voting machines. But I had no idea that they were going to do these things in Antrim County or that they were going to do these things in Georgia. And I'm willing to bet we're going to find it was done elsewhere. I had identified this vulnerability where you could patch the electronic voting systems and change the number of votes per candidate. And that is the thing that I identified, and that's exactly what they did.
In essence, you became a prophet without knowing it.
Without knowing it. Exactly, yeah. Without knowing it.
Ken, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Senator Lindsey Graham said the same thing I'm about to say, which is that we cannot let the wicked people get away with stealing a presidential election. When there was a moral majority in this country, this would never have happened. Now, however, Christian Americans cannot assume that the opposing side will be fair and honest. We must insist on secure and verifiable voting and vote counting. We absolutely need multiple mechanisms to ensure honest and accurate elections.
Absolutely. Ken, how would you respond to our caller statement?
Well, and we need multiple mechanisms to ensure fair and accurate elections, because the Democrats use multiple mechanisms to cheat. they take an all of the above approach. What I think happened in this election was that they started out with this electronic patch, this algorithm. They said, okay, we need to switch 3% of the votes, and we're going to do it in these red counties where Trump had votes. And that ought to do the trick. They found out in Florida it wasn't going to do the trick, because in South Florida, Miami-Dade County, Hispanics and blacks were coming out in record numbers for Donald Trump, and he won 200,000 votes that he had not gotten in 2016. And they started to freak out. That's when they moved to the second installment of this plan, which was simply to import massive, massive numbers of phony ballots, to stuff the ballot boxes in the middle of the night. They told the Republican poll watchers, go home. Nothing to see here. Everybody's tired. Come on back at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning where we're going to start the counting again. Republicans came back the next morning, and lo and behold, they found, hundreds of thousands of votes that had suddenly appeared overnight with nobody to watch them come in and be added to Joe Biden's vote total. So they're using all of these different techniques. One other thing I'd like to say in this regard, which pains me to say so, but I think it is abundantly true now from the evidence we're seeing, is that this has become part of the culture of the Democrat Party. If you are a Democrat, it's okay to cheat. It's okay to be registered to vote in New Jersey and to vote up there and come on down to Florida and vote again. It's okay to send in a mail-in ballot and then again come on in and vote on election day. It's okay if you're a Democrat poll watcher to change the name of somebody whose ballot has already been voted by somebody else. This is what they've done in Detroit. I mean, it is absolutely astonishing that on a wholesale level, this is not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is something that's organized by a few people in secret. This is part of a culture in the Democrat Party. I find that absolutely disgraceful, dishonorable, and very unhealthy for our republic.
Absolutely. Ken, I believe we have a couple of callers on the line. We'll take Greg first and then the next caller. But Greg, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Well, what did Chuck Schumer warn Donald Trump? You know, the intelligence community has 7 ways to Sunday to get you back, something like that. And if we look at all the different ways that cheating and fraud have taken place in the midst of this election, this one keeps popping up, the Hammer, H-A-M-R, and scorecard. A program, I believe, developed by the CIA to actually, affect elections in other countries. And now it may have been used domestically to affect the outcome of our election. If you step back to the Watergate era, understand that all those plumbers that went in with G. Gordon Liddy to the Watergate Tower, those were every single one of them ex-CIA and ex-FBI. Today, my concern, my fear, my the apprehension I have about us moving forward is we have intelligence agencies that I believe have participated in this attempted fraud, or it is a fraud. We just hope that it can all be found out and exposed in the very, very near future. These lawsuits, other than those that are civil and go up the ladder very quickly and are granted certiorari before the Supreme Court, the other actions by Barr may very well take years if they're ever pursued. Again, we need to realize how deep this swamp is. In 2016, Hillary Clinton received contributions out of employees with the Department of Justice, and I believe it was 96% of Department of Justice employee contributions went to Hillary Clinton. In the Department of State, I believe the contributions, 99% of them went to Hillary Clinton. The D.C. is so very, it's aptly called the swamp. It is absolutely dominated by the left. So the notion that we're going to see justice evolve or bubble up out of D.C., it'll not happen. By the way, side note, today is my 31st anniversary. So I call this is a very special day for me, and I still took the time because you're so special to me. 31st anniversary, and we've also today, you know about Henry. And Henry, every single Wednesday night, was fateful, though he's dealing with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and everything else. Henry's still with us, and Henry's doing okay, but he's not been able to come out with this all this Wuhan flu stuff. So today, Henry got a donut.
Amen.
We took him a bear claw today, so he's taken.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons that's living up at the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it, in Tennessee. I am delighted that this is the 31st anniversary. Happy anniversary for you and Randa. And tell Henry I said hello and that I'm going to get a bar claw, too. He calls it the bar claw.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Keep up the good fight. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Ken, I am thankful that as I communicate with you and then in the communication with Greg, the two of you have such a brilliant mind on subjects of this nature that I'm always impressed with any conversation we can have and dialogue and discussion with each of you on it. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over to the question and the comment, please.
Good morning, Ken. I want to just make a very quick statement, but I want to preamble with this. You have not, absolutely not, put me up to what I'm fishing to say, and I want to make that clear sincerely. Now, that statement is this. You gave several of us a heads up much earlier this year that your book was coming out and suggested that we pre-order the book, which I did. I read the book quickly, was impressed enough to write a fairly positive endorsement of it on Amazon Books, meaning every word I said. But now, after this election, and being absolutely stunned by your prescience in that book, I want everyone that hears my voice to make sure that they get your book. In fact, every Republican operative needs to be buying cases of it and handing it out, because if it can be read quickly in the next week or so, it will galvanize the kind of response that needs to be galvanized against this unspeakable evil that the trade grants have done. So thank you for writing the book. I acknowledge it's absolutely point on, that it speaks to the issue, and people need to read it quickly. Thank you. End of commentary.
Thank you so much for your call and for your compliments on that. Ken, perhaps it'd be good to give a little blurb about how our listeners can obtain one of your books and where they can find it and how they can order one or purchase one.
Well, thank you for that very kind commentary as well. Just go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and you can also go to Google the election heist, or go to Amazon, the election heist, because that's what we're witnessing right now, is the election heist. And let me just get, cut to the chase, the real bottom line here. The way these election supervisors, and again, this is what I set out in the book, the way these election supervisors can discover the fraud, can discover that their election systems have been hacked, that these patches have been uploaded, is they have to do manual recounts. If you put the ballots, the paper ballots, back through the machines that have been hacked, you're going to get exactly the same result. So, and if you do a what they call a ballot reconciliation, which is not running the paper ballots back through, but you run the ballot images. Every time your paper ballot goes into that scanner, it's scanned and a PDF is created. When they do the counting on election night, what they do is they scan the PDF images, the ballot images, and that's how they can change the vote totals. So the only way to discover it is to manually recount the ballots. It takes a long time, but if you start with a couple of precincts, you say, oh, okay, I'm going to do a couple thousand ballots. Let's test this. Let's see if there's a problem. And if you see that there's a problem in a couple of precincts, you're pretty sure you're going to have a problem all through your county.
Absolutely. One of the things that I believe we need to drill a little deeper on for the benefit of our listeners, because most people think when they go in and they fill out the paper ballot, scan it in the machine, that it is secure. Speak to that issue and exactly what takes place. I was listening to an individual on a television interview that said that ballot vote that you put in can be changed as you put it in that machine in a microsecond, he says. Explain how that operates and what takes place with that.
Right. So that's done by the software, and that's what I'm talking about in the election heist. One of the sources that I went to when I was doing my investigation for the book worked for an alphabet soup. He was a white hat hacker working for the U.S. government, for an alphabet soup organization. And he put it to me very simply. He said, Ken, anything that is run by software can be hacked. Anything that is run by software can be hacked. So those scanners that tabulate your ballots, when you put your ballot into the scanner, it is driven by software. And the software determines how to read your ballot. And all you have to do is upload a patch, which is basically a new program or a piece of a program, into that election software running the scanner. And you can read ballots that are voted for Trump as being voted for Biden. In other words, you change the vote totals. You change what the ballots actually say. That's why you have to go down into that sealed ballot box where the paper ballots drop and take them out and do them by hand, because then your hand and your eyes, as long as there are people there to verify and to watch and not 6 feet or 20 feet or 100 feet away and can't see anything, if people are manually counting the ballots, you can detect the fraud.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's taking place, and our listeners need to understand that, is that we have the canvassers that are legally have the opportunity to go in and watch the counting from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. Of course, they have to be background and certified to do that. You can't just walk in off the streets. And yet the Biden people and the Democratic Party saying that these canvassers were allowed in. They were. But they were about 150 feet from where the action was taking place, and you can't see what's on the ballot, much less the details of any changes that might take place. And then they changed and allowed them to be within 25 or 30 feet, and then in some cases 6 feet. But you're not close enough to be able to literally visually watch and ascertain what is taking place. That's the danger of it. Ken, we're concerned about this election because, as you and I both know, it is stolen. And here's what Tom Fitton says. Tom Fitton says, Trump won Tuesday's election according to all federal election laws. And he goes on to how Tom Fitton, of course, is with Judicial Watch. And he said the expansion of the mail voting made this election entirely predictable. Extending the vote time past the election date, which is illegal for all election laws across the nation. End quote. Ken, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for the news. We're going to come back right after that. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We're talking with Ken Timmerman today, the Election Heist publisher of the book, The Election Heist. And I believe that he has some insight that is beneficial for us today. So hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.